Well, brethren, the thoughts today are an inspiration from Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, if you get a chance, go ahead and read it. Not right now, but it's David's devotion. It's basically the anatomy of David's devotion to God. And he thanks God for God's testimony without words. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That's a testimony without words. And so I really appreciated that. And then by the end of the chapter, he asks God to come near and have a personal relationship and develop him. And that's a beautiful thing. It harkens back to Brother Tom's study. And this is what he says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, the last verse of the chapter. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In this chapter, it is representing King David's fondest hopes and his dreams. And I believe that this represents the poetry of King David's devotion. Now, the definition of poetry, it's traditionally literature that evokes a concentrated, imaginative awareness of experience or emotional response, arranged for its meaning, sound, and rhythm. And I think that's the way God dealt with David. It was the poetry of God's devotion to King David. And we get to take advantage of that today through the words of King David, through the words of all of the holy prophets. This is the poetry of God's devotion to us. So we will consider a few of experiences of some of God's people. We will consider their actions and their reactions in those experiences as the poetry of their devotion. And then we will finish by considering the poetry of God's devotion to us. The behavior of these faithful men and women of the scriptures becomes the poetry for us as we consider its meaning. It's the sound and the rhythm of their behavior. Now I would like you to think about your own devotion to your Heavenly Father at the very end of the Gospel Age. We are living in perhaps the most spectacular time in human history. It's a wonderful privilege. We live on the very cusp of the rolling out of the Abrahamic promise. And now we have the opportunity to show the poetry of our devotion to our Heavenly Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ. So what would that poem look like? If you were to write a poem, what would that look like? Well, I think it would have something to do with Romans 8, 20-something, 24, 26 maybe. That's where it talks about that we groan, just like the world groans. Only the world groans without hope. And we groan with hope. We groan with hope for the knowledge of the unfolding of God's plan. It still hurts. We still groan. And this groaning is the inspiration for the poem that I wrote to share with you, brethren, today. It's called Just a Little While. And it is the disciples' prayer. And I wrote it just for you. Hunter, I wrote this poem for you. Sister Tammy, I wrote this poem for you. Just a little while. Just a little while now. Just a little while. The kingdom hopes of the prophets and the apostles are just before us. We see its majestic rays spreading on the horizon. We hear the heartbeat of God's love getting louder. We feel its rumbling power throughout the mountains and the hills of earth. Let us reach out and grab our salvation. Oh Lord, give us the strength of eagle's wings. Instill in us keen spiritual vision. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let our hope not grow weary. Let our legs not grow faint. Open our hearts to be a beacon of your light. Give strength to our hands in your mighty power. Help us finish the work that you've given us to do. Open the door of opportunity for us to share your word. Open the hearts of your children in their private meditations. Let your word go out to them to do its work of comfort and blessing. Extend your mighty power throughout the earth. Let your servants' hearts echo with gladness. Let your servants exalt you and praise you among the congregation. Show us who we are. Tell us what to do. Point us where to go. Protect us from the evil one. Renew your spirit within us and fill us with your love. Let our hearts be softened and watered with your spirit. Just a little while now. Just a little while. Brethren, your experiences can be your prayers in motion. I'd like to consider a few experiences of some of the disciples. The one is the on the road to Emmaus. It's in Luke chapter 24. I'd like to read verses 17 through 27. Luke chapter 24, verses 17 through 27. And this is appropriate for today because we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 17 through 27 of Luke 24. This is when Jesus came alongside the two disciples. And you notice one of Jesus's first interactions with them is to ask them a question. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? That's a question that Jesus asked Luke and Cleopas. And the one of them, whose name is Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? How often do we think Jesus doesn't really know what's going on in our life? And he said unto them, hey, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Oh, my friends, the work of God was much bigger than just the redemption of Israel. Yea, and the certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Do you see the poetry of their devotion? Do you see Jesus listening to the poetry of their devotion? Wow. How would you like to have been Jesus listening to that? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So the disciples were walking on a stroll and they were sad. They were in despair, which is one of the life switches that Brother Jerry was talking about. And Jesus was about to turn that on into an awakening, wasn't he, Brother Jerry? They asked Jesus a question, which shows that Luke and Cleopas were earnestly contending for the faith by interrogating the word of prophecy. And Jesus came alongside them because they put their feet in the way to be blessed. Sister Tammy, interrogate the scriptures. Look earnestly into the scriptures. That will be the poetry of your devotion. And Jesus will come alongside you because God will send him to you. But Jesus answered with a question. So get ready for this. When you ask Jesus a question, he's going to probably ask you a question back. And they provide Jesus with the evidence to answer his question. And what does Jesus do? He simply reminds them of what they already know to be true, but they've never connected the dots before. And this truth resonated in their heart and it bounced around their soul and inspired them. Jesus conducted topical Bible study and moved them with an opportunity to reach out and desire more from him. And he was about ready to move along, wasn't he? He wasn't going to stop. That was a trigger. For you to recognize these triggers in your life, when Jesus is getting ready to kind of move along, that's when you reach out and you grab that salvation. You reach out and you grab Jesus. Do you see the poetry of these disciples' devotion? They were sad. Jesus came to them and asked them why they were sad, and Jesus asked them to explain their problem. They provided Jesus with the evidence. Jesus points them to the scriptures. Their eyes were opened. Jesus leaves them to grow. Jesus knew they loved him. Tammy, Jesus knows that you love him. And Jesus knew that the community of disciples were strong in the faith. So what do we learn from here, Hunter? We learn that Jesus comes to us in our despair. He comes to us in our despair. He sounds our heart for curiosity. And when he finds it, he provides us with an awakening of our spiritual senses to the scriptures and to the plan of God. Now, there's another lesson in here that I like. It's about Cleopas and Cleopas's wife. Does anybody know who Cleopas's wife was? It was one of the Marys that brought sweet spices to the tomb to anoint the crucified body of Christ. So here we have a closed loop experience in a family. A righteous father that interrogated the scriptures, a righteous mother that tended to the body of Jesus. And I thought to myself, wow, I wished I had were raised by Cleopas and Mary. And then guess what? I realized that I was. My father, Robert, he was inquisitive like Cleopas. He brought the truth and he didn't sell it. And he instilled in us a servant's heart. My mother, Rachel, she was like Mary. And her devotion to the work of God instilled within us a loving and discerning heart. And I think temperament, Sister Tammy, temperament, your temperament is one of the great differentiators that you have to bring to the table for God to use you. And I think that's what the temperament of Cleopas and Mary, that's the great differentiator. And Cleopas and Mary both showed us that their curiosity is our door to our awakening. Mary on the way to the tomb, Cleopas on the way to Emmaus. And we get to do the work and listen to the word of God. We get to do a spiritual work. So teach your children and spiritual children to remain curious, to be humble, to be hungry, to look for answers to current events by digging into the scriptures. And this will be the poetry of your devotion to them. They will see that as the poetry of your devotion to God. The fact of the matter is our faith is developed in a crucible of fire. Man, it's hot. And what's happening? Jesus is looking for his reflection as that dross is burned away. But that crucible of fire becomes our poetry of our devotion to God. Another experience, Mary's alabaster box of ointment. Jesus was anointed by Mary at Bethany. We know the story. It was an alabaster box of perfume. But let me read it. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? They had a very rational response to this beautiful moment. Have you ever thought of a rational response that just didn't work? They had a rational response to this beautiful moment of devotion of Mary. It was the poetry of her devotion, and they weren't listening. And they said, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you, this woman? For she's wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you. But me, ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial to her. I think we can reasonably assume that Mary's spiritual senses were already awakened. She did whatever she could, and that's what she could do, and she did it. To express her gratitude for Jesus's true impact on her life, she was expressing her gratitude for the poetry of Jesus's devotion to her. She knew things that the other disciples did not know. And perhaps she could read the Jesus body language and understand his words a little bit more clearly. And she could see in Jesus' urgency in his words and in his works when the other disciples could not. Her act was the poetry of her devotion. Now, how may we do the same? Well, consider this. Just as the alabaster box was translucent for all to see, that it was full of ointment, our heart should be transparent before God and full of adoration. Just as the ointment may have been her dowry to give to her future husband, our heart is all our future husband wants. Tammy, that's all he wants, your heart. And you voted with your feet. Your feet brought you and your heart here to this convention. That's beautiful. One of the comments that my lovely wife told me, she said, everything that Mary did exemplified everything that Jesus wanted them to do, the disciples. You want to hear that again, don't you? Everything that she did exemplified everything that Jesus wanted his disciples to do. Now, Jesus not only anointed Jesus before his resurrection, but she was one of the two people that carried the spices to his burial, to the tomb. I really appreciate Brother Richard Doctor's thought on that. She took spices to care after Jesus's body. My friends, what spices are you taking to care after Jesus' body at this end of the gospel age? I really like the concept in John chapter 20, verse 12. Brother Richard touched on it this morning. And when they went to the tomb, they bowed down, they looked into the tomb, and they saw two angels sitting on the front or on each side of the place where Jesus' body was laying. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of the mercy seat in the tabernacle where you had two angels on the mercy seat. And Brother Matt Carey, an elder in our class, had a really beautiful thought. And he thought that it's possible that Mary's act of washing his feet with that perfume inspired him to wash the disciples' feet. Because guess what? The disciples, Brother Matt said, the disciples didn't really get it the first time. So perhaps Jesus said to himself, well, you guys didn't get it the first time. Let me remind you of why it's important. The fact of the matter is the disciples were probably openly or inwardly criticizing Mary before they even spoke their thoughts. And I think that's a big idea, that our thought begins in our mind and then it's formed into words. The poetry of our devotion begins in our mind. And then it forms into words. What are the resources that you have in your possession? Those are the means for you to develop the poetry of your devotion. I really like Sister Vicky's testimony, because just think of the power of giving people the last words before they die And those are the words that they'll remember when they are resurrected. Wow. What a powerful gift that she's been given. And she told me that she prayed that God would put her in that type of position. She didn't know what it was, but that was the poetry of her devotion, and God answered her prayer. I like Brother Richard Doctor said earlier, he said that we should be willing to lay down our lives and everything we have in the Father's care and keeping, in whom we trust. Now I'd like to consider another moment. It was Peter warming himself by the fire. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. That was a poetry of his devotion. Don't you think Jesus recognized that from far off? Peter voted with his feet. He took his heart to the court. They were accusing his Lord of unlawfully, and they were condemning themselves at the same time. But Peter put his feet in the right place by going to Jesus' arraignment. But his heart wasn't fully there, was it? Putting his feet was the poetry of his devotion, but he fell short into fear and despair. And he felt so useless that he did not know what to do next. But Jesus took care of that. He took care of that. He came to Peter and he asked Peter a question. Jesus came to Peter, just like he came to the two on the way to Emmaus. And he asked Peter a question, just like he asked the two on the way to Emmaus. And he says, do you love me? Has Jesus asked you that question? Well, you know what happens when you can find out if somebody really loves you? When you find out what people really love, you can really predict their behavior. That's a big idea, isn't it, Brother Dean? You know, I really like this scripture. It's in Psalm chapter 107, and it's known as the fisherman's prayer. And this is a prayer that Peter would have known as a fisherman. He would have known this prayer. And let's look at what it says, because I think it actually gives us insight into this moment when he was at the fire and he denied Jesus. Psalms 107, verse 23 through 32. Listen to this prayer of a fisherman. They that go down to the ships, to the sea in ships, they that do business in great waters. Well, that sounds like his job description as a fisherman, doesn't it? These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Wow, that sounds like our life today. We're fishermen. And this is happening in our life today, metaphorically. They mount up to heaven. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Do you see fear and despair, Brother Jerry? Their heart is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then this is the finishing part of the prayer. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of elders. Now, isn't that what Peter did? He devoted his whole life to that last phrase of that prayer. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. Upon this rock of the ransom, I will build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. Wow, that was Jesus giving Peter a job to do. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my weak sheep. And Peter came forth and he praised him in the assembly of the elders. I love that concept. Now I'd like to consider God's poetry of devotion to us. Have you ever thought of the truth, the harvest message, the Bible, the scriptures, is the poetry of God's devotion to the gospel age church at the end of the age, to give you the strength through the meat in due season at just the right time for you to be able to understand the plan of God and not groan with a lack of hope like the rest of the world does? So think of this, God's poetry of devotion to us, how would you frame that up? Well, I think God did it in the Abrahamic promise. And then he confirmed it through the mouth of all of his holy prophets. And this is what the two on the way to Emmaus were interrogating the scriptures. They knew what was going to happen. It didn't meet their expectations because Jesus basically said they had to wait. And remember what the two on the way to Emmaus said? They said, we trusted it that he was the one that was going to save Israel. Well, one of the brethren, maybe it was Brother Tom, quoted John chapter 3. And we think of John 3:16 that says something powerful. And that is, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then what does verse 17 say? Because this is where Jesus was trying to expand the mind of Nicodemus. Verse John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. The salvation is going much farther than Israel. And Nicodemus needed to know this. The salvation of God was the atonement for sin that Jesus provided in the ransom sacrifice. And this is the poetry of God's devotion. Let me read the Abrahamic promise as if it was a quote or a poem. It's in Genesis chapter 22, 16 through 18. Hunter, if you memorize the scripture, I'm going to give you a nice Starbucks gift card. Okay? You like coffee? Okay, so you're going to enjoy that Starbucks gift card. But you have to memorize the scripture. It's Genesis 22, 16 through 18. So I'm going to read this as a poem. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. What a beautiful poem. Now, God continued that poetry for the next 1900 years all the way to Jesus. And he continues that poetry in his apostles and in you since. Now, what did that promise do for the Jewish households throughout history? Every succeeding household would be inspired by the faith of Abraham. And they would wonder. They would wonder at Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son because of his faith. Could I do that? No, it's not a question. What happened in Abraham's mind as he was walking up Mount Moriah? He was leading his son up Mount Moriah with a bundle of wood on his back, surely brought to him moments of despair, especially when your son asks you, hey, father, where's the sacrifice? Man, I'd blow my mind. I'd fall down and cry and say, I can't do this, God. But Abraham converted that despair into great faith. He probably was plagued by fear in those moments, with the nagging possibility that he would kill his own son. But I think also on his way up the Mount Moriah with his son, he was probably very curious to see how God would provide. And he was hoping against his faith. And that's what we do today. Abraham's walk up that mountain was the poetry of his devotion. and his hope was the reward of his faith that gave him the strength to do it. He enjoyed an awakening. He was justified by faith by the creator of the universe who speaks to him without words. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Wow. And now the Heavenly Father gave Abraham the promise of the stars and the promise of the sand of the seashore. And that justification by his faith was the tremendous answer to Abraham's devotion to God, of becoming a friend of Jehovah because of his faith. Now, I want to tell you a story, and that is this young man, Hunter Tishmack. You should say hi to him. Give him a big hug. He likes hugs. But I noticed the poetry of Tim and Sandy's devotion to Hunter when he was younger. So you know what I would do at the general convention? I would invite him out in the morning to play golf with me. And we'd play golf on Saturday morning. I don't know how many times we do that. 3 times maybe? We'd always stop at M's breakfast spot for a cup of coffee and a sandwich. Remember that? I saw the poetry of Tim and Sandy's devotion to Hunter Tishmack. And I thought, man, I want to confirm some of that. I want to get some of that action. And I want to confirm that because I saw the hope that they were instilling in Hunter and the values that they were instilling in Hunter. And I saw the power of God work in us as we played golf on that golf course, just a little 9-hole golf course. So I really appreciate Brother Tim and Sister Sandy and Brother Dan and Sister Tammy's, the poetry of their devotion. So this is the opportunity for us to jump in on somebody else's poetry and confirm it. But this faith of Father Abraham set on fire the faith of all of his future generations, including ours. It inspires our faith, especially to see how God confirms it through the mouth of all the holy prophets. And these are stories that we can tell our children. Now, how about this? James chapter 2, 20 through 23. James chapter 2, 20 through 23. This is the Apostle Paul reflecting on the poetry of God's devotion to Abraham, which he was enjoying because his eyes were opened on the road to Damascus. I wonder if he needed a chiropractor after getting knocked off that horse. But this is what James the Less, who I think was the son. Wasn't James the Less the son of Cleopas and Mary? I could be wrong with that. So, but anyway, James says this. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son up on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. My friends, your faith in the blood of Jesus that we're celebrating today, it's the end of your faith and it's the beginning of your faith. And it gives you the opportunity to live in the power of the Abrahamic promise, to live in the power of the blood of Christ, and to do his work with your own poetry, a devotion to your Heavenly Father. Now, with this theme in mind, I also wrote another poem that was God's answer to the prayer that we read earlier. And it's called Just a Little While. But this is God's answer to that disciple's prayer. Just a little while now. Just a little while, my precious child. The kingdom hopes of my prophets and apostles is just before you. The majestic rays of my kingdom are shooting forth from the horizon, the heartbeat of my love for all mankind is getting louder. You feel its rumbling power throughout the mountains and the hills. Do not be fearful. Let it wash over you and settle it deep within your soul. I will do all the work. Let my love change you. Look to me for your salvation. Grasp it with all your heart. I have given you the strength of eagle's wings. My Holy Spirit has given you keen spiritual vision. Let your hope not grow weary. Let your legs not faint. Open your hearts to be a beacon of my light. I will strengthen your hands in my mighty power. I will help you finish the work I have given you to do. I will open doors for you to share my word. I will open the hearts of my children in their private meditation. Send out my word to them. My word will do the comfort and blessing. My word will not return to me void. My mighty power is extending throughout the earth. Let your hearts echo with gladness. Love me and praise me among the congregation. And this will be their beginning of wisdom. Look to me, my precious child. Open your heart to my word. I will show you who you are. I will tell you what to do. I will point you where to go. I will protect you from the evil one. I will renew my spirit within you and fill you with my love. I will soften your heart and I will water it with my Holy Spirit, my precious child. Just a little while now. Just a little while.